Hello, and welcome to your GCSE Biology Revision podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most fascinating topics in the entire specification. Topic 9, ecosystems and material cycles. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking, cycles sound boring. But trust me, once you understand how carbon, nitrogen, and water flow through living systems, you'll start seeing the natural world in a completely different way. And more importantly, you'll be able to pick up some really satisfying marks in your exam. In this episode, we're going to cover the key concepts you absolutely need to know, walk through the material cycles in detail, talk about energy flow through ecosystems, and then I'll give you my top exam tips and a quick-fire quiz at the end. So grab a pen, find somewhere comfortable, and let's get started. Let's begin with the basics. An ecosystem is all the living organisms in an area, that's the biotic factors, plus all the non-living conditions like temperature, light, and water. Those are the abiotic factors. Both sets of factors interact constantly, and understanding that interaction is key to this whole topic. Within an ecosystem, we have a feeding hierarchy called a food chain or food web. At the bottom, we have producers. These are plants and algae that make their own food through photosynthesis. Then we have primary consumers, which eat the producers. Secondary consumers eat the primary consumers, and so on. Each level is called a trophic level. Now, here's a really important point that examiners love to test. Energy is lost at every trophic level. When a rabbit eats grass, it doesn't get all the energy from that grass. In fact, only about 10% of the energy is transferred to the next level. The other 90% is lost through heat from respiration, through movement, through waste, products like urine and feces, and through parts of organisms that aren't eaten, like bones or roots. This is why food chains rarely have more than 4 or 5 trophic levels. There simply isn't enough energy left to support another level. And this is also why pyramids of biomass are always pyramid-shaped. Each level has less biomass than the one below it. Now let's move on to the material cycles, starting with the carbon cycle. Carbon is the building block of life. Every living thing contains carbon in proteins, fats, carbohydrates, and DNA. The carbon cycle describes how carbon moves between the atmosphere, living organisms, and the earth. Here's how it works. Carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is absorbed by plants during photosynthesis. The plants use it to make glucose and other organic compounds. When animals eat plants, that carbon passes into the animal's body. When organisms respire, and remember, all living things respire, including plants, carbon dioxide is released back into the atmosphere. When organisms die, decomposers, that's bacteria and fungi, break down the dead material. This process of decomposition also releases carbon dioxide through the decomposer's own respiration. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Millions of years ago, dead organisms didn't fully decompose. They were buried under sediment and compressed over millions of years to form fossil fuels, coal, oil, and natural gas. When we burn these fossil fuels, combustion, we release all that stored carbon back into the atmosphere as carbon dioxide. This is a major driver of the greenhouse effect and climate change. Carbon is also dissolved in the oceans, where it can be used by marine organisms to make calcium carbonate shells. When these organisms die, their shells form limestone rock over geological time. Right, now let's tackle the nitrogen cycle. This one has a few more steps, but I promise it makes sense once you see the logic. Nitrogen makes up about 78% of the atmosphere. But here's the catch. Most organisms can't use nitrogen gas directly. They need it in a form they can absorb, as nitrates or ammonium ions. So how does nitrogen get from the air into living things? There are two main routes. First, lightning. The huge energy from lightning can cause nitrogen gas to react with oxygen in the air, forming nitrogen oxides, which dissolve in rain and fall into the soil as nitrates. Second, and this is the more important route, nitrogen-fixing bacteria. Some of these live freely in the soil, but the most famous ones live in root nodules on the roots of leguminous plants like peas, beans, and clover. These bacteria convert nitrogen gas into ammonium ions, which plants can then use. Once nitrogen is in the soil as ammonium ions, nitrifying bacteria convert it first to nitrites and then to nitrates. Plants absorb these nitrates through their roots and use them to make amino acids and proteins. When animals eat plants, the nitrogen passes into animal proteins. When organisms die, decomposers break down proteins and other nitrogen-containing compounds, releasing ammonium ions back into the soil. And finally, denitrifying bacteria, convert nitrates back into nitrogen gas, completing the cycle. A key exam point: farmers add nitrogen to soil through fertilizers, either artificial fertilizers containing nitrates or natural fertilizers like manure and compost. They also plant leguminous crops to naturally fix nitrogen. However, excess nitrate fertilizers can wash into waterways, causing eutrophication, a process where algae bloom, block light, plants die, decomposers use up oxygen, and fish suffocate. This is a classic 6-mark question topic, so make sure you can describe and explain the full sequence. Let's quickly touch on decomposition, because it's central to both cycles. Decomposers, bacteria and fungi, are the recyclers of the natural world. They secrete enzymes onto dead material, break it down externally, and then absorb the products. The rate of decomposition is affected by temperature, moisture, and oxygen availability. Warmer, moist, aerobic conditions speed it up. This is why compost heaps work better when they're turned regularly, adding oxygen. Right, let's talk exam technique. Here are my top tips for this topic. Tip 1, know your command words. If the question says, describe the carbon cycle, you need to say what happens at each stage. Photosynthesis removes carbon dioxide, respiration releases carbon dioxide, and so on. If it says explain, you need to say why. For example, carbon dioxide is removed from the atmosphere by photosynthesis because plants use it as a reactant to produce glucose. Tip 2. For 6-mark questions on cycles, use a logical sequence. Start at one point in the cycle and work your way around. Don't jump randomly between stages. Examiners reward clear, logical progression. Tip 3. Don't confuse the roles of different bacteria in the nitrogen cycle. Nitrogen-fixing bacteria fix nitrogen gas into ammonium. Nitrifying bacteria convert ammonium to nitrates. Denitrifying bacteria convert nitrates back to nitrogen gas. These are 3 different types of bacteria doing 3 different jobs. Mixing them up is one of the most common mistakes candidates make. Tip 4, when explaining energy loss between trophic levels, be specific. Don't just say energy is lost. Say it's lost through heat from respiration, through movement, through waste, products, and through parts not consumed. Examiners want detail. Tip 5, for eutrophication questions, remember the full chain of events. Excess nitrates lead to algal bloom, algae block light, aquatic plants die, decomposers increase, decomposers use up oxygen, fish and other organisms die due to lack of oxygen. Each step is a potential marking point. Common mistakes to avoid. First, saying that decomposers eat dead material. They don't eat it. They secrete enzymes and absorb the products. Second, forgetting that plants also respire. They do all the time, not just at night. Third, confusing biomass pyramids with energy pyramids. They usually look the same, but biomass is measured in grams per square meter, while energy is measured in kilojoules per square meter per year. Okay, time for a quick-fire quiz. I'll ask the question, give you 3 seconds to think, then give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What percentage of energy is typically transferred between trophic levels? 10%. Question 2. Name 2 types of bacteria involved in the nitrogen cycle. Nitrogen-fixing bacteria and nitrifying bacteria, or denitrifying bacteria, any 2 of those 3. Question 3. What process do decomposers use to break down dead material? They secrete enzymes externally and absorb the products. Question 4. What is the term for the process where excess nitrates cause algae to bloom in waterways? Eutrophication? Question 5. Name 2 abiotic factors that affect decomposition rate, temperature and moisture, or oxygen availability. Any 2. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and review that section before your exam. Let's wrap up with the key takeaways from today's episode. 1. Ecosystems consist of biotic and abiotic factors interacting together. 2. Energy flows through food chains and webs, with only about 10% transferred between each trophic level. The rest is lost as heat, waste, and movement. 3. The carbon cycle involves photosynthesis, respiration, decomposition, combustion, and the formation of fossil fuels. 4. The nitrogen cycle involves nitrogen fixation, nitrification, absorption by plants, decomposition, and denitrification, with bacteria playing a crucial role at every stage. 5. Decomposition is essential for recycling nutrients, and its rate depends on temperature, moisture, and oxygen. 6. Eutrophication is a key environmental application. Make sure you can describe and explain the full sequence of events. That's it for today's episode. You've covered some really important material, so give yourself a pat on the back. Now go and test yourself. Cover up your notes and try to draw the carbon cycle and the nitrogen cycle from memory. That's the best way to make sure this knowledge really sticks. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode. You've got this!